Welcome to Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on all things Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm Wes Goldberg, Warriors beat reporter for the Mercury News. It's another episode of Target Tuesday, and today I'm joined by Charles T. Hamilton to discuss Israeli forward Denny Avia, who's rising up draft boards and could be an option for the Warriors at number two. We'll talk about his strengths and his weaknesses, and then end the show by talking about his potential fit with the Warriors.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Okay, Charles, we are talking about Denny Avia, the 6'9" forward who helped lead Maccabi Tel Aviv to an Israeli league championship and became the league's youngest ever MVP. So obviously, with accomplishments like that, there must be a lot to like. So in looking at Denny, what stands out to you the most?
Well, for me, I mean, one of the main things that jumps out immediately is that he's 6'9" and a small forward. That is great height, great size for a small forward, especially in today's NBA. I mean, we just saw, I know the Rockets got eliminated, but their centers were 6'9". I mean, Marquise Chris is 6'9". So to have that kind of size at the small forward is a major benefit. He also has the playmaking ability of a lead guard, good ball handling. The jumper looks good. It's not broken. It's not LaMelo Ball style or anything like that. It looks like a solid jumper. Defensively, the ability is there. Again, with most of these guys, most of these lottery picks, just in just about any year, the defense is going to need to take steps. No one comes in as, the finished product as a defender, or, you know, very few come in as really good defenders. So there's going to be there's work that's going to need to be done on that end, but you see the ability, especially with the size. He's also good around the rim.
Let's talk about the size first, because you're right. Like, there's not that many just pure size-wise small forwards with the high-end ceiling that Denny has in this draft, right? And so if you're the Warriors and you're out there looking for more forwards, I think with Denny – he gives you that size at 6'9", but he's also at 215 pounds. Now, it looks like, I don't know when that measurement was taken, because he's been, ever since the league stopped, I mean, he's been stateside at the P3 training facility down in Santa Barbara, which is the place where guys like, you know, Kevon Looney has trained there, Harrison Barnes trained there, you know, stars like James Harden, Damian Lillard, those guys have trained down there. So that's one of those legit places. And it's one of those like really scientific forward places. They use like the biomechanics and all these things, which you love to see. And I think with Denny, you read some of these profiles on him, and he's one of those guys who signed with Maccabi Tel Aviv when he was 16 years old. He was one of these early pros, and then he shot up like 6 inches, right? So for a couple of years, he was just trying to get used to his body and just that new frame and that new height that he has. And so you combine that and just that natural learning curve that he had with the fact that he understands how important his body is and that he's at like the scientific training facility trying to better use that body. That's the kind of stuff that like stands out to me. That's the stuff that you're not seeing in box scores, even in highlight films. It's like, how are you spending your summer? What are you doing with your time? And I love that. And if he can learn to use that 6'9" frame in a better way, because yeah, he's got a good first step. He can get to the rim like you were talking about. And the size certainly helps there, and his strength certainly helps there. And like I said, he's probably bigger than 215 now because he's been training so much. Defensively, there are some issues there, right? Like, despite the size, he does have some issues with lateral quickness. I know we'll talk about weaknesses a little bit later on, but if all those things come into focus a little bit because he's working on his body so much, then suddenly this length becomes even more important, because it's 6'9" with a 6'9", 6'10" wingspan. You could play both forward spots.
Exactly. And you mentioned his, being 215 and looking bigger. He's a solid looking kid. It's not a situation where this guy's going to have to put on weight or get stronger. Of course, you know, at 19, you want them to get stronger because they're still growing, but it's not a major point of his progression that you're going to need him to put on weight and get stronger. But as far as his defense goes, yeah, one-on-one, he does lack some of the athleticism, but a good team defender, which to me, when I hear good team defender, to me says, you know, high IQ, that he understands the defensive scheme that they're running and knows how to be in the right place at the right time and things like that. So Also offensively, you know, whether those two correlate, you know, you can make the argument whether it does or it doesn't. But bottom line is he also has a high IQ offensively as a ball handler, creator in the pick and roll, all that good stuff. And
he's so impressive as a ball handler. Like I'm watching highlights of him. And, you know, the highlights of him aren't as easy to find as some of the guys like Anthony mm-hmm. Edwards and even like a LaMelo Ball who like basically exists on social media. But when you see him, I mean, not he can get out in transition really well, right? And so you love that size. And he does have straight line speed. He doesn't have that lateral quickness, but he does have that straight line speed. He just gets downhill and he uses that strength really well. But then in the half court, like he's got this – you mentioned the basketball IQ, also great feel. Like as a ball handler, like he's snaking pick and rolls. He's putting guys in jail on his hip. Like he's got a very patient dribble, a patient approach. And having that combination of patience while also having that ability to play well in an up-tempo transition game, that bodes well for him at the NBA level, right? Mm-hmm. And especially if you project him to a team like the Warriors that likes to do both. Like obviously they want to play up-tempo and play with pace. But so often they can get stuck in half court situations. So if he can thrive in that scenario, that's even better. And like he at 6'9", he's delivering like these overhead passes. Like he's got bullet throws. He can throw the lob. He can, you know, whip it with either hand. It looks like he can drive and kick out to the corners. Like he's got every pass already in his bag.
Yeah, absolutely. And the ball handling coming from a player that size is such a benefit. You don't usually get that from someone that big. You get that from, you know, point guard size players. So to get it from someone his size that's potentially playing the three or the four is it's something that a lot of teams are looking for in today's NBA. Like when you look at Draymond or Bam Adebayo, mm-hmm. guys that and I know technically those guys are both centers, but bottom line, a guy that's bigger than your guard, and it allows a secondary ball handler on the court, which is something we see with a lot of teams, is that they don't have enough ball handling out there, and he's a guy that can handle that.
Yeah, you could argue the Warriors didn't have enough ball handling last year. Yeah. And I think if you draft Danny, like that's going to provide that. One other thing, you mentioned the help defense, and a stat that stood out to me that I found in a Real GM article, his rim protection numbers are outstanding, 1.2 blocks per 40 minutes. I mean, that's outstanding for a small forward. So he could – like that automatically projects as something that fits well next to Draymond Green. You know, I think when you lose Kevin Durant, you want to add some rim protection and stuff like that. So that, to me, was a number that really stood out and also shows that level of help defense that you were talking about. Like, that is basketball IQ. Not only is that just strength and size, but that is basketball IQ because as a small forward, you're not guarding centers, right? So there's no reason for you to get all those blocks to the rim. That just shows that he knows where to be within a team defensive scheme. But that's enough for his strengths for now. Let's talk about his weaknesses next. But first, let's talk about Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing number of vehicle makes and models, it can be impossible to stock all the parts you need for your car, especially now while you might not be able to visit a traditional store. So do it easily online at rockauto.com. Rockauto.com is a family business serving auto parts to customers online for 20 years. So go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They've got everything you need, from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The rockauto.com catalog is remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low without the markup that you're going to get from your salespeople at the stores. You don't need to worry about walking in and not knowing anything. You're going to get the same price that the pros get. So go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Then write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. Kendall Baker from Axios will join me later this week to talk about covering sports during the pandemic era and his thoughts on how the NBA can resume the next season. So be sure to subscribe to Locked On Warriors and look out for that. Charles, we talked about Denny's strengths. Let's talk about his weaknesses. We hinted at it in the first segment there. That lack of quickness, that's not as big a deal in the Israeli League. And the Israeli League is a good league. When you play for Maccabi Tel Aviv, you are playing against the next best teams outside the NBA, right? Especially when you're competing against EuroLeague. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't as much of an issue there, but I can see it being an issue in the NBA when guys are just bigger, faster, quicker, stronger. I do worry about Denny. If he can't get quick, I do worry about Denny's ability to stay in front of ball handlers and getting targeted on the defensive end.
Yeah, absolutely. I part of the benefits or part of the positives is his effort. The effort is there, which is one thing that I find inexcusable is when guys are indifferent defensively. So at least the effort's there. But yeah, the athletic ability is not the burst, the lateral movement. So one-on-one, you know, he's a guy that could be targeted, which also speaks to him being 6'9". A 6'9 wingspan isn't it's fine, but you got guys who are 6'4 with 7-foot wingspans, and that's a physical ability that helps you defensively, allows you it limits his ceiling defensively. And even though the block numbers are great, is that something that will hurt him in the NBA because of that small wingspan? Will that be able to continue in the NBA? And one more thing that makes me nervous, or to me could be a negative, is because of this great size that he has, is he really a small forward? Is he someone that's going to end up being a power forward in the NBA? Which, again, he could still be a good player at the four, but it's just wings are so valuable in today's NBA, especially for a team like the Warriors. If he's not a wing, that's kind of a negative on his checklist or whatever.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that because I wasn't so concerned about the wingspan just because the league tends to be getting smaller anyway. And if he's strong enough, then I think that you can make up for stuff that way. Mm-hmm. I don't think you need to ask him to be your small ball center, but he could still be a small ball four, a small ball three, or a three, I mean. But you're right. Like if I think the other thing too is if that shot doesn't come along, then can he really play the three? He's a – like. The shooting stroke looks good, and I tend to believe in it, but the numbers just aren't there. And you look at the history of guys who have been basically 50% free throw shooters for their career, the history of those guys becoming suddenly like reliable jump shooters is not great. Like 50% free throw shooters don't often – yeah, they don't often become 80% free throw shooters.
Yeah.
And that's a cause for concern for me, obviously. I do like that he went from basically a 27% three-point shooter to a 33% three-point shooter in one season. I like that free throw percentage jumped up from like 52% to 57% or something like that from one season to the next in a large enough sample. That's a good sign. But, I mean, even at that rate, Charles, it would take him, what, half a decade to become even a reliable free throw shooter? Like that to me is problematic. So yeah. That you need like a really drastic jump. And look, based on the videos out there, he is working on that stuff. But unless he makes that leap in shooting efficiency, then he probably has to play four because you can't afford him to play at the three. Mm-hmm. And if he does play the four for you, then yeah, you may be dealing a little bit with a size issue.
Yeah, exactly. And the shooting, the 50% from free, it's not a small sample size. It's over 350 free throws since 2017, and he's shooting in the 50, somewhere in the 50s. I think it's 56%. And the three-point shooting, it did pick up in the playoffs and towards the end of their season. But again, that's still something, yeah, it went up to 33%, which is fine for a bench player or something like that, you know, a backup or something. You don't want that from a guy who's potentially your starting small forward. And just the things that he doesn't have makes me think that he's a better fit at the four, which again, just is not as valuable in today's NBA as a small forward is. And like you said, there's just zero precedent of a guy shooting in the 50% from free throw to jumping up 30%. It just doesn't happen. And then that makes some of his ability to get to the rim and get fouled kind of negates it. Him getting to the rim and getting to the free throw line is almost a negative. You know, it's Giannis. Obviously, I'm not actually comparing him to Giannis, but the fact that Giannis gets hacked and goes to the line, that's a better outcome than him getting to the rim, actually getting a shot off. So it is a negative.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the player comparisons for Denny, and it ranges from guys like Hedo Turkoglu and Danilo Gallinari to guys like Dario Saric. And so if that shot doesn't come along, you obviously become Dario Saric. If the shot gets there at any level, then if you're talking about Danilo Gallinari, you can stretch the floor from the four spot, or Hedo Turkoglu, who obviously did the same thing, especially for those Magic teams. that's a really useful player, and the Warriors could really use that player, especially next to Draymond Green. But that is really the swing skill for him, right? Because, you know, maybe he could be like this interesting like fulcrum of the offense, the four spot, if the shot never comes along, right? Like, and maybe like off the bench kind of guy. Like, that we're talking about Dario Saric here, basically. And that's a nice player. It's a useful player. He can, you know, push the tempo, lead a bench unit, and be a useful player in those situations. But, you know, he needs to really get that shot going in a meaningful way. And
not a number two overall pick, that's for sure.
No. And I don't know enough about Euro basketball to know, like, if free throw shooting translates from – how free throw shooting typically translate from there to the NBA. But one thing I do know is that a free throw is the same thing. Like, you've got you have a static shot at a free throw line. You got to shoot it at the basket that's in front of you. Yeah. If you don't do that at a high enough clip, then that's problematic. But I haven't seen enough of just him, and I haven't talked to enough people to really have an understanding of whether that's going to translate or whether or not that jump can happen. All I'm saying is that the precedent isn't really there. Mm-hmm. But I'm not saying it can't happen. And every time I read like these scouts and stuff like that, they seem to believe in it. And so that means something, because those guys know more than I do about this stuff. So I tend to trust that when I hear that. But some scouts, some analysts don't believe in it either. So let's talk about how Denny would fit with the Warriors next. This is Locked On Warriors. If you haven't already, now is a perfect time to hit that subscribe button to get episodes of Locked On Warriors every day. All right, strengths, weaknesses, we talked through all of them, Charles. If Anthony Edwards isn't there at number two, and you and I talked about Anthony Edwards, we decided, you know, if he's there at number two, just take him. It's the easiest, most sure thing pick in the draft right now. Mm-hmm. Just go for it. But let's say Anthony Edwards goes number one to Minnesota, and Denny is there on the board. Would you be comfortable taking Denny over guys like LaMelo Ball and James Wiseman, maybe some of these other players that are in the mix?
not really. I think the best version of Denny is a perfect fit for the Warriors, but then you're betting on a lot of things improving. You're betting on that shot being legit. You're betting on his free throw shooting improving drastically. I'm talking like 20 percentage points here. If the best version of Denny is a guy who comes in, is 6'9", legit small forward. I mean, the only players I can think of that are that big that are actual small forwards in the NBA are Kevin Durant and Paul George. And that, if you can find that, you take it every time, because it is such a benefit, such a commodity in today's NBA. The problem is, if you just look at the data and look at the just the numbers and the precedent, I'm not confident in him becoming that. And the problem with that is he could still be a good player, still be a nice player in the NBA, still be a good power forward. But to me, another power forward on the Warriors, especially with his skill set being what it is kind of redundant with Draymond Green, you know,
and Eric Paschal.
And Paschal. Yeah. But I mean, Paschal at least is a little different. You know, he's a better scorer. Where with Denny, it's another ball handler, another creator, which is great. That's not a bad thing. But just as far as the fit goes with the Warriors and Draymond, it's a little redundant.
I don't know if I'm just getting suckered in by this guy.
I'm very torn. I do like him.
I like him a lot, man. And I know that, like, we talked through the shooting numbers and the lack of precedent, and historically these guys just don't get that much better at shooting, and I just don't really care.
Yeah.
Not in this draft, you know? Like, in this draft, I don't really care, because I think his playmaking is so unique at that position with that size, and I love his competitiveness. You watch the interviews, you watch him play, and the way he's just throwing his shoulders into dudes, the way he just doesn't back down from anybody. I love the way he goes at big men on both ends of the court. I love all of it, and I'm just like, yeah, that dude's competitive. And if anybody's going to fix that jumper, it's him. And it looks good. Like, we're not talking about, like Giannis's shot doesn't look good. It never has. And I don't know if it will.
Or
but, like, Denny's shot looks good. Yeah. Right. Yeah. It's not, yeah, definitely not LaMelo Ball either. I'm just kind of buying in. I'm just buying in. And if it does hit, man, you've got a really good player. And I look at him sliding into, like, the Andre Iguodala role, where he can come in. Like, he's probably not in your starting lineup, but you can bring him in as a sixth man, like, best case scenario, and you can play make at the forward spot, and help unlock some small ball lineups with, you know, Steph and Clay, and then you put Denny in there next to Wiggins and Draymond Green. That's a lot of floor spacing with the Splash Brothers. That's a lot of ability to get to the rim between Denny and Wiggins, and great a lot size. Of playmaking between Draymond Green, Steph Curry, and Denny. And yeah, and you've great, like, who's the shortest guy on that starting lineup outside of Steph Curry is Draymond Green at like 6'7" with his huge wingspan. We know that he could play center already, so that's not an issue. Like, that's a big lineup.
Yeah.
I really like that idea of it, and I like Denny, and every time I start to talk myself out of Denny, I watch more YouTube clips, I watch more interviews with him, and I'm right back in. Like, once I'm out, I think I'm back in. Once I think I'm out, I'm definitely back in. And I just, I would take him at number two. I like his upside. When you're talking about other guys, like, I like guys like Tyrese Haliburton and Devin Vassell and these guys who I also think have tremendous upside, but I would be willing to bet on Denny. I would at number two.
I think it's the hair. He's got a great head of hair, and it just... Yes. It draws you in every time. No, I mean, I'm with you.
He kind of looks like he participates on the crew team at like Harvard.
Yeah, definitely. He's a I don't know. I don't know any position on crew besides coxswain. So I don't know.
That's more than I know.
Yeah. So he's on the crew. He's a coxswain on the Harvard crew team. He's a good looking kid, but I'm with you. The main reason why I said that is I'm just looking at the numbers and just trying to be, you know, pragmatic about it, but there's just something about him that I really like, and it's the size, the skill. He does have skill. It's not something that's just coming in and you're hoping that, you know, he's got a high floor. I'll put it that way. Right. You're definitely getting a player, even if these other things don't improve, but without those improvements, I just don't know how great the fit would be on the Warriors. And on top of it, for me, my number one choice in this draft is at the Warriors trade down.
Right.
Because the players that I like the most, I think will be there further down in the lottery. But as far as the number two pick, I'm not, you know, 100% against him. If Anthony Edwards goes number one, I'm not 100% against him being the pick out of a pool of, you know, him, Wiseman, Haliburton, whoever else, you know, he would be in that group that you could pick from at number two. It wouldn't be a massive reach that you're, you know, scratching your head about.
No, there's one thing that I'm always willing to bet on, and it's basketball field, basketball IQ, and just ball skills. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you look at a guy like Nikola Jokic and what he's been managed to do despite the lack of athleticism. He made a 3-point shot for himself. He was able to do stuff just because he's so skilled with the ball in his hands, and he just has great feel for the game. I just bet on that stuff. It's the same reason I like Haliburton. I bet on that stuff when it comes down to it.
It makes sense. I mean, it's definitely something that is a lot harder to teach than physical, like, adjustments to your shot. You know, knowing the game of basketball, inherently knowing it, inherently having that high IQ is as valuable as you know, some of the physical stuff.
I should say the combination of feel and just general effort and competitiveness, which is the question I have with LaMelo Ball. We know the feel is there, absolutely, but I have questions with his effort and competitiveness, but I have no questions about that when it comes to Denny. All right, remember to subscribe to new episodes of Locked On Warriors wherever you listen to podcasts. Please rate, review, and say nice things about the show. Thanks to Rock Auto for sponsoring today's show. You can send your comments and questions to me on Twitter at WC Goldberg, or email them to me at wgoldberg@bayareanewsgroup.com. Thanks for listening, and stay safe.